Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by Jerry Hamilton. Big day yesterday on the 40 acres. Longhorns, listen to this, guys. Dole out 15 new scholarship offers on the day. 15. 10 of them to class of 2026, which was this is a junior elite camp yesterday. Four guys that are only going to be sophomores. So that's 2027. And then we also had an offer go out before the camp even started to someone that was not at the camp, but it's a 2025 defensive back. Blake Gideon liked a big rangy safety out of the Mansfield area. All right, this is brought to you by Allegiant Digital Marketing. We appreciate their sponsorship. We'll tell you a little bit more about them later. Jerry, let's start, though, with the quarterbacks. That was the talk of the camp going in. Dia Bell was on campus. Troy Hume was on campus. Those are two of the guys that Texas had offered for the class of 2026. Where do you think that quarterback battle ended up yesterday? Both of those had offers going into the camp, right? So no new offers there. But where did that end up? Because that was the subplot, so to speak, of the entire camp at some level.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that was the subplot. And I think Dia Bell, we got to say, is probably the favorite right now. Look, when he got in late Friday night, they met with Sark. Him and his mom and dad met with Sark before the camp started Saturday. And then coming out of the camp, from everything I heard, was that, Dia Bell might have the first opportunity to commit. Troy Hune exchanged some messages with him, and he's going to go on with the process. I think Texas absolutely pushed. I'm not sure he would have gone on with the process. He's going to make some other visits. I think he wants to get out to Clemson, maybe check out LSU, a couple other places again. Dia Bell remains scheduled to make some visits. So I think that's the interesting thing as well. But I was told Sunday evening that one thing Texas doesn't want is a kid to rush into commitment and then want to take other visits to these campuses in June, right after he commits. So I think Texas feels good about Dia Bell. I do think that the LSU visit coming up around June 13th, 14th is a big one. May get out the FSU, may get out the Ohio State, may even get out the Penn State one more time. We'll see on that. But I think right now Dia Bell gets the first opportunity, first crack at it. And we'll see what happens there from a timing perspective. But no more new offers at the 26th quarterback position yesterday. The new offers at quarterback came in the 27 class, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, all right. So let's finish up with the 26 class. In all, 10 new offers. And yep. Now there were guys on campus like John Turntine who already had been offered. There were a bunch of guys. We're going to talk specifically, though, about new offers.
Yeah.
In this update. Jerry, let's start at the wide receiver spot where Texas made three offers in the 2026 class. Mike Brown out of Legacy Sports Science there in Houston. He got an offer. Jordan Clay out of San Antonio Marshall. And Zion Robinson, a wide receiver out of Mansfield. All three of those guys getting offers yesterday from Chris Jackson as the wide receivers coach at Texas, as well as Steve Sarkisian.
Well, Zion Robinson officially entered the national recruiting race Saturday with the offer from Texas, because he had a few offers. I wrote about it on texasfootball.com. But he had a day yesterday. Texas was by in May. Really liked what they saw for him. Obviously, anybody that sees him in person will. He had 25 catches, 409 yards, 6 touchdowns in that tough district last year up and along I-20. Then he won the state high jump. He put up good numbers in basketball. Won state high jump at 6'8". He's a 6'3½, 175-pound wide receiver. But Texas, that he's now on the national radar in recruiting and in evaluation with the offer from Texas. Obviously, it had a couple more, but I heard he was tremendous yesterday. I heard Jordan Clay was the smoothest route runner yesterday, the offer out of San Antonio. I think Texas leads big for Jordan Clay, from what I was told. Jordan Clay, I think at 6'2", 190, more physically developed than some guys. I think his ability to decelerate really impressed yesterday and create separation out of his cuts at 6'2 and almost 190, 195 pounds. He's in that area code. So I think Texas is a big leader for Jordan Clay. And then Mike Brown out of Houston Sports Sciences. He plays for Michael Bishop at that private school there, or that academy school, charter school, whatever you want to call it. So Michael Bishop, former Kansas State All-American quarterback, I think is Heisman runner-up, right, Bobby, out of Willis High School. That's who Mike Brown plays for. Mike Brown had 17, 18 offers prior to Texas. He was on the SEC radar already as a guy who's a wide receiver prospect that also plays in the secondary on a team with some other talented kids, offensive lineman committed to A&M, defensive back committed to Arizona State, a couple of younger kids with SEC and Power Four offers already as well. So there were three high-level receivers there yesterday, and a camp that, Bobby, by the way, I was told was high-level pretty much every position.
Interesting. So you heard that it was really, really good. I mean, look, they put out 10 offers, new offers yesterday.
Yeah.
That had to be a talented camp. Texas doesn't – Sark has not done that historically. Going into it, me, you, and CJ were talking. We thought they might push out 3 to 5 offers overall. And to have 10 just in the class of 2026, that speaks volumes.
No, it speaks volumes to the talent level. I mean, not every position was absolutely loaded. We talked about wide receiver, had some really good guys there. Offensive line was absolutely loaded from what I was told.
Yeah, let's go there. Hey, Jerry, yeah. let's go there next, because we started with the wideouts. The next position group on offense that got some guys offered was offensive line. We mentioned Turntime was already there, some other guys already there as well. But three new offers go out. Noah Best, a big offensive lineman, interior guy out of Midlothian. Felix Ojo, another Mansfield player, by the way. That's two on the day out of Lake Ridge High School, Felix Ojo. And then Nicholas Robertson, who wasn't that well-known heading into it, out of Klein. Who are those three guys, and what did you hear about their performances yesterday that led to the scholarship offer?
Well, the one true tackle prospect was Felix Ojo of those three that was offered. He was on campus in April. Texas really liked him. I think Kyle Flood was by in May. So he was already very much on the radar. They didn't offer that day in April, came back and offered yesterday at camp. True tackle prospect, tackle length, tackle feet, tackle bend, body quickness, all that. All of that showed up Saturday from what I was told. So Texas entered the race with Texas A&M and a number of others, SEC schools and regional schools. So Texas likes Ojo quite a bit in that 26 class, along with Turntine at tackle. The two guards that got offered yesterday, both interesting for different reasons. I'm going to start with Nicholas Roberts out of Klein High. For those that follow recruiting in the Houston area, I'll go all the way back to Mike Green, Austin Yamodi, some of those guys that came out of Klein High, right? But Nicholas Robertson, what impressed yesterday, I was told from all the offensive linemen, all of them that were on campus, he had the most impressive natural power initial punch. And he did so with a cast on his hand. He's coming off an injury. So Texas went by Kyle Flood, maybe even the area recruiter as well, went by Klein in May. Didn't get to see him work out because he had the cast on his hand, but he wanted the offer. So Texas didn't offer him that day when I thought they might. So he didn't get the offer, but he showed up at the camp, still not 100%, and went out there and battled and earned that offer, 6'3", 300-pound guard all the way, a guy that Texas really likes. Noah Best is probably the least known guy that's now about to become a national recruit soon, because he finished his junior season with sophomore season with zero offers. None. No. I mean, then Texas Tech offered in January, SMU offered in March, then he's added a few more, Texas, Ole Miss, a couple others here. Well, he added some in the spring evaluation period, then Texas, obviously June 1st, but he's seen as a guy who's 6'3", 290-ish right now, that's going to be 6'3 and a half, 6'4", 310, pounds and an SEC level athlete guard. Really impressed Texas yesterday. And look, it was a loaded offensive line group yesterday. So to step up and come away with an offer over some other guys that were hoping to get offered that didn't get offered says something for the performance Noah Best put on yesterday.
Gotcha. All right. Before we move on to the defensive guys that were offered yesterday, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. That's Allegiant Digital Marketing. Did you know that among the top 9 challenges business owners face, the most difficult ones include finding customers, increasing brand awareness, digital advertising, and lead generation? What if I could point you to a local homegrown agency here in Austin that could solve those problems for your business once and for all? For more than 25 years, Allegiant Digital Marketing founder and CEO Chad Markham, a UT grad and instructor of the UT Digital Marketing Bootcamp here at UT Austin, has helped thousands of businesses overcome these challenges. Take advantage of their Hook 'em Horn special and save up to $2,500 in advertising. Visit AllegiantDigital.com/OnTexasFootball to learn more today. Again, that's AllegiantDigital.com/OnTexasFootball to learn more today. All right, Jerry, Flipping sides of the ball here. We just talked about all the offensive guys. Let's move on to the defensive ones, if you don't mind. Two defensive linemen, one an edge and one an more of an interior guy, get offered yesterday. Jamarian Carlton out of Temple and Dylan Berryman out of Monroe, Wichita, up on the I-20 corridor. Those two guys, tell us what you know about those. I know that CJ went up and visited with Carlton out of Temple like a week or 2 weeks ago and just came away extraordinarily impressed with him. What do you know about those guys?
Yeah, I saw Carlton on an April visit as well to Texas. Long arms, 80-plus inch wingspan guy, 6'4", broad shoulder, really good frame, can stack weight, can carry 250, 260. He's got that ideal frame, that SEC frame. So Texas obviously was buying May to take a look at him. Really liked what they saw. Also, there's another 26th prospect up there Texas hadn't offered yet, Jason Bradford, a defensive back. But Carlton is one of the better-looking edge prospects on the hoof. And then the tape is really good as well, closing in on double-digit offers there. So a guy that fits the profile that Texas is looking for, that SEC schools are going to be looking for off the edge. And then Berryman, as you said, out of Wichita, I-20 North. I mean, he is big time now. I believe LSU's already offered him. There's some other SEC offers there. But he's going to be one of the top, most highly ranked, top 300 type of player in the country at the defensive line position. Could go higher once everybody sees all the D linemen, but was really impressive. If there was one D lineman interior guy that, you know, I kind of heard about yesterday, it was his combination of quickness and power. So when you do that at his size, over 280 pounds, that tends to get you offered and be very impressive. But he was the top interior defensive lineman at the camp yesterday, and a guy that Texas swung by and took a look at in May when they were on I-20 recruiting James Simon, who committed, and Aiden Anding at Ruston. So that's a 26th D lineman that Texas really likes. And I'll say this, the 26th class of interior D linemen in Texas is not as strong as 25. So you're going to see Kenny Baker, Sarkisian, and Texas really have to do their homework on guys out of state and find those fits they're looking for, because headed into next season, it's a little slim pickings on the interior D line in the state of Texas.
Okay, two more guys that were offered on defense. No linebackers that we're aware of at this point. DBs, though. I heard Jamarian Vincent was one of the best-looking guys there. That's the safety athlete out of Waco Connolly High School. Yeah. And Booby King, DB out of Port Arthur Memorial, going down to the Golden Triangle. I love how these guys are all over the state, man. You get small towns, et cetera. This was truly a statewide event with with some national players mixed in. We talked about some Californians, Louisianans, et cetera. But talk about the two DBs, Jamarian Vincent and Booby King.
Yeah, Jamarian Vincent, a guy that we've been hearing about for a while. Look, he's teammates with who? Jelani McDonald and Kobe Black at Connolly. I mean, so he's a guy that was on the radar for all the SEC regional colleges, but very impressive mover with length, with catch rate, radius, wingspan, whatever you want to call it, there, the defensive back position. He's a smooth, fluid mover. Brock King's a kid I saw early in the season when I stopped by Port Neches to see Jackson Christian, and then stopped by Port Arthur Memorial and then Jasper. But Brock King in the corner from Port Arthur Memorial, and the linebacker, Tyon Tank King, not related, was offered by Texas earlier in the spring. He was not able to come because he had a baseball tournament. I think Texas has been in a pretty good spot for the linebacker, Tyon King. So Texas offers Brock Booby King yesterday. What was interesting about my stop at Port Arthur Memorial with Brock King was the coaching staff there, members of the coaching staff, thought he was ahead of Jalen Gilbo at the same age as a corner. Now, they didn't know if he had the, at that point in time, because he was so young, this was early in the season, if he had the all-out dog that they said Jalen Gilbo had from eighth grade on, right? That's what he's always played with. But Brock King, from a pure corner perspective, in coverage, foot quickness, ability to turn and run, they had as a higher end prospect at corner than Gilbo at the same age. So a guy that Texas has been watching for a while, watched the sophomore tape, had on campus earlier in the spring, and then offered yesterday. So kind of falls in line with what the Port Arthur Memorial staff was thinking headed into the season and throughout the season, is that this guy, raw tools-wise, was even ahead of Jalen Gilbo at the same age. And that makes that offer not surprising.
All right. That's the 2026 group that was offered. Now, we had four 2027s.
Yep.
Two of whom were quarterbacks, Jerry. Peyton Houston out of Shreveport Evangel Christian and Brady Edmonds out of Huntington Beach, California. Both quarterbacks. Those two, talk about those two, because Houston's been to Texas multiple times. Edmonds is kind of setting the world on fire everywhere he goes right now. Offered by SMU on Friday, Texas on Saturday. He's expected at Tennessee today to throw there. I'm sure he'll probably end up with an offer.
Oh, yeah.
Volunteers, too. Tell us about those two guys and what you heard behind the scenes.
Yeah, so Brady Edmonds works with Danny Hernandez, same as Malik Murphy, Troy Hoon. So a guy that Sarkisian has a long-standing relationship with, the quarterback instructor at SoCal there. But Brady Edmonds arguably had the best day of any quarterback yesterday at the camp. That's pretty high praise for the talent level at quarterback. There were probably six, seven, eight guys that are future Power Four quarterbacks there. And if he really did have the best day, that's saying something. Now, he had the least pressure. I mean, Diabelle and Troy Hoon clearly had the most pressure yesterday because they were legitimately throwing for a spot, an opportunity at the University of Texas. But Brady Edmonds, 6'5", 205, strong arm. He has a live down the field arm, but also from what I was told, changed ball speeds really well yesterday in that setting. And what happened with the quarterbacks yesterday, which made it, I think, really a test for the 27s, is A.J. Milwee put them through a lot of drill work before, so they were all lathered up in that heat, right? They had been working before the actual live throwing, just on air to wide receivers and then the one-on-ones. But Brady Edmonds had a big day yesterday. Peyton Houston, so interesting. Similar to KJ Lacy, he's under 6 feet tall, but he may have had the strongest intermediate arm yesterday from what we're told. Tremendous feet. Can make all the throws. Sark isn't offering anybody that can't make all the throws, and he can make them at a high level. But one of the things I was told that it impressed people around Peyton Houston and at the camp yesterday, he's got the moxie. He's kind of got that personality. So if you watch him throw and you're immediately drawn to the arm talent, and then you get around them, you say, this guy's got something to him. And that's what I was told yesterday that impressed a lot of people, is the what he has to him. And you have to. If you're a slightly undersized quarterback, right, Bobby? I mean, you have to have some of those other intangibles to push you over the top. It can't just all be about arm strength and quick feet. You have to have a lot of that. But both those guys, very impressive yesterday. And it says a lot that Sark offered 227 quarterbacks before they play a game as a sophomore.
Yeah, that's just crazy. I got asked yesterday by a friend of mine, exactly what does it mean? I mean, how does a guy tell if a sophomore in high school can be getting a scholarship offer like this? You know, how does Sark even tell? Well, some guys just got it, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the answer, right? I mean, it's just some guys you just see and you go, okay.
Yeah.
Right. And they clearly passed the eye test yesterday in Austin. All right. Two other 2027 offers, Jerry. Both lineman type. Amari Vickerson over at Cy Ranch. He actually plays a little tight end too, but probably more of a defensive lineman. Yeah. And Brian Swanson, a big offensive lineman out of South Oak Cliff. He fits that big humans moniker that Kyle Flood likes. What about those two?
Yeah, the lineman out of Cypress is going to end up being a 280-plus pound interior D lineman long term, probably. That frame is already around 260, 265. I don't know what he weighed in at yesterday, but a really talented guy. He's got the length. He's got the big hands. He's got that initial quickness, first and second step quickness. But he's going to have that power, and he's going to have that SEC frame and that SEC body, because that's an early offer on a defensive lineman. But again, Cypress, that area has some 27s. They also have an edge kid that Texas didn't offer that was impressive yesterday as well. So that Cypress ISD west of Houston has got some young kids in that 27 class that are going to become some national recruits here pretty quickly, a few games into their sophomore season. Swanson out of South Oak Cliff, I think has a chance to be a big-time national elite guy. He's 6'5", closing on 300 pounds. He has all the feet, the body quickness, the bend, the long arms, the hand size. He's going to continue to reshape his body. But I think we've talked about the Michael Fasusis, the John Turntines, that level recruit. I think based on what I was told in the spring and then based on what I was told yesterday after the camp, Swanson's going to be one of those guys. He's going to be one of those guys. I mean, Texas A&M's already offered, Oklahoma's offered, that everybody in the country, once they see him, is going to offer, whether that be at camps this summer, in the season, his sophomore season. There's also another young offensive lineman at 2026 at South Oak Cliff on Texas's radar that could be a potential offer next year during the season. But Swanson in the 27 class, he's going to be one of those guys talked about the next 2-3 years as one of those top offensive line prospects in the country in his class. He's really talented.
All right, so 10 in 2026 class, 4 in 2027. There's one in 2025 that kind of took us by surprise on Saturday morning. We'll mention him in a second and talk about Nathan Tillman. But first, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, each and every Sunday's Roundup, brought to you by Allegiant Digital Marketing. Are you a business owner who struggles with any of the following? Finding new customers, consistent leads, finding marketing services to promote your business that actually work. Founder and CEO Chad Markham with Allegiant Digital Marketing, an Austin-based ad agency, has helped thousands of business owners just like you for more than 25 years conquer these same challenges. If you're ready to start making money in your business and grow with confidence, visit AllegiantDigital.com/OnTexasFootball and get a free marketing plan. That's free. Plus, you can save up to $2,500 in advertising with their Hook 'em Horns special today. Again, that's AllegiantDigital.com/OnTexasFootball. All right, Jerry, let's talk about Nathan Tillman, a young man out of Mansfield Timberview, big safety, kind of flew under the radar, has been committed to SMU, right? Let's talk a little bit about Nathan Tillman, if you don't mind, because he's the newest offer, and this one's a little bit more pressing because he's class of 2025.
Yeah, safety out of Mansfield Timberview, you said. Same high school as Andre Kojo. Same school in 2025 classes. Dylan Battle, defensive lineman, Texas has taken a long look at, was back up there in May when they saw Tillman again. They also had another DB that was really good, Elijah Pratt. He moved to IMG or transferred to IMG. He'll be at IMG next year. Three really talented defensive players in that 25 class that were at Mansfield Timberview. Obviously, Pratt is at IMG now. But Nathan Tillman already has Baylor official visit scheduled for June 14th through 16th. We'll see if that holds. I exchanged some messages with him Saturday afternoon. He did not have a Texas official set up yet. We think that's definitely possible. Could it be the 7th through 9th? Could it be the 21st through 23rd? We'll see. The Texas attention, Texas offer certainly has his full attention. And a lot of people are asking, what does that mean? Well, I think what it means is Jonah Williams continues to be a long shot. I don't think it has anything to do with Cade Phillips' recruitment. I think Cade Phillips will be an LSU-Texas battle at the end of that one. But Texas needs two safeties in the class. That's the reality of it. And they have a bunch of corners coming in for official visits. But Texas is still working at that safety position to find the right fit for them. And so Nathan Tillman, talented guy. What's interesting about that is when I went through Mansfield Timberview last season, went for an athletic period. It was actually pouring down rain when I got there, so I didn't get to watch the guys work out. But what I did learn was I was asking about Dylan Battle with the staff, and they said, you know, the Tillman kids really come on. And so, you know, you put those in the back of your mind. Then when you hear, okay, he just got offered by Texas, that means he really had a strong spring as well. So he stayed on that path, that ascending path, where some other guys tend to level out. You know, a kid like Dylan Battle was dealing with a shoulder injury, missed spring there. But Nathan Tillman has continued to ascend. He's gaining weight. He's getting stronger. But what I was told, thinking back on the conversation at Mansfield Timberview when I was by there last season, is that what they said, he was a heady playmaker on the ball. So just something to take away with that.
I watched a little bit of this film yesterday. You can see that. You can see that. He sees it a little bit before most secondary guys do at that level. Jerry, 6 foot, 185 pounds or so, and also ran a 10.71 FAT 100 meter last year. So he's got speed.
I mean, that puts you in the near Xavier Filsimi athletic category, because Filsimi ran 10.55 as a sophomore and he was 175, 180 pounds, right? Then he was hurt his junior year. So you figure Filsimi at 190, 195 is probably running 10.7, right? I mean, so that puts you in that type of athletic category on the track. What that also tells you, Bobby, is Tillman's being under-recruited nationally.
Yep, absolutely. All right, hey, that's going to do it for recruiting. I want to say this, though. Congratulations to the women's rowing team. University of Texas women's rowing team earlier this morning took home the national championship. I think it's the third in 4 years, or second in 3 years for Texas, one or the other. But regardless, they're going to light the tower for the ladies on the rowing team. They won the national championship over Stanford. That will help in the Director's Cup standings as well. Yep. Texas baseball lost a heartbreaker last night. 4-2 in 11 innings against A&M in College Station. Women's softball run ruled Florida. They don't
play shutouts in a row.
Two shutouts in a row. They won 10-0 yesterday against Florida. They wait to see who they play on Monday for the semifinal.
Yeah,
we'll see who that will be. But look, Longhorns right now they're going on all cylinders. A lot of recruiting going on, other sports as well. But that was a breakdown primarily of what happened yesterday at the Elite Day. And Jerry, I tell you what, I'm surprised even going through this that they went as high as 15 new offers in a single day, because it's not like they hadn't already started doing some offers in the class of 2026. Right. I mean, what, a half dozen guys had already been offered that were there, you know, including some running backs like Tre'Darrion Ball. We didn't mention him. So it'll be interesting to see where all this goes in the next week to 2 weeks. If any of these guys try to accelerate their time frame, including one, Dia Bell.
Dia Bell. I think Texas, I think Dia Bell will have a commitment by the end of June. Could be earlier than end of June. I think he's got 3-4 camps coming up here through the second weekend or June 14th weekend. And I look, when I was at American Heritage, Dia Bell wanted to have a decision before June was finished. And I think he's on track to do that. And I think Texas has some confidence there. We'll see what happens. Bobby, this is the other thing with all those offers. What we've talked about prior is now they were all in-state offers, except that, you know, the two quarterbacks and 27, the defensive lineman out of Louisiana. But Texas has the ability to get more kids on campus and more kids work out in front of the staff now that they're winning, headed to the SEC, having guys drafted. It's a lot easier to get guys on campus than it has been.
This is exactly what we're talking about, how A&M at one point had all the guys going to their camp, and Texas was really scrounging to get really good players to go to its camp. That seems to have reversed, and hopefully the Longhorns can take some dividends from that. All right, Jerry, that's going to do it for this afternoon. We'll be back tonight to talk on the live stream. We definitely will be answering questions as well as any other news and notes that come out of this Elite Day that happened yesterday, perhaps more news on the team as well. For Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. Special thanks again to AllegiantDigital.com/OnTexasFootball. For Jerry, I'm Bobby. Hook 'em.